welcome to this week's edition of On The Box, the Geek Show's very own TV-related, we call it a show.
Yeah, it's more like anarchy. The Geek Show's own TV-related anarchy.
In the UK.
Yes.
Yeah.
God save the Queen and all that. Anyway, yes. So, yeah, today it's me, Rob.
Me, Andrew.
Me, Andy.
Ill.
Yes. Are you two both ill or something?
I think we both are.
I was all right this morning, and then my allergy started.
Are you saying you're allergic to me or Andrew?
I think it's just allergic to radio equipment.
I don't know what I'm allergic to me.
Yes, so...
Maybe it's milk. Maybe you're allergic to milk.
Yeah, you have been drinking a lot of milk.
I don't... And orange.
Milk and orange.
Not together.
Yeah, because that tastes weird. Milk, a milky, orangey thing. Nah, don't work in my head.
Only in America.
At least not without copious amounts of alcohol in it.
Yeah. Anyway, right. We've got news to start off with, so who wants to kick us off?
I don't.
I guess it's me then, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a good one to start off on. The A-Team. You might remember the reboot a few years ago film, which wasn't too...
Yeah.
It's been rebooted for TV this time.
Wasn't Liam Neeson in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was playing Hannibal.
Yeah. Although, I do think he suited that thingy. It just didn't work. The whole premise of the film didn't work. But anyway, this is going along the other reboots that are coming, which, for example, Rush Hour, Minority Report, Limitless. I think that one's just started as well.
And Rush Hour as in?
Rush Hour.
As in like Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
Is Jackie Chan going to be in a TV series now?
Probably not. He probably has better things to do.
Yeah, there's loads. Minority Report, Behind Enemy Lines, Friday the 13th and The Notebook are on here as well.
Okay.
What? The Notebook?
But, yeah.
Like the romantic drama thing.
I could get
as a TV series.
I could get
at least it's not the Lake House.
True.
I mean, we've seen, obviously, the A-Team work before, but Mr. T, he is the A-Team.
Well, no, he's one guy.
But he makes the A-Team.
No, his relationship with Murdoch is what made the A-Team.
Yeah. It's like, that's what you watched it for.
And the fact that they had to keep drugging him to take him onto planes, knocking him out in some way. Yeah, and then you got George Peppard as Hannibal, who really fit the role, I thought. He was really good, but the fact that every time you saw him, he was dressed as some kind of kaiju. He was, wasn't he? He was always in some rubber suit, smoking a cigar. It's like some weird 80s fetish. I'm not sure.
No, I worry about what the A stands for.
Godzilla didn't make movies like that, I'm pretty sure.
This hasn't found a network yet.
Really?
So, God knows when we're going to see it, but...
I thought Fox had something to do with it, though.
No, this is it's the Fast and the Furious writer-producer.
Chris Morgan.
Chris Morgan. That's creating it.
Yeah, Chris Morgan and I think it's the Nikita producer, Albert Kim. Mm. And the original creator, Steve J. Cannell. Tanya McKiernan. They're on special assignment from 20th Century Fox. To revamp the 80s series.
Yeah.
Fox is involved in this.
Yeah, but there's no solid network.
They're basically looking into whether it can work in the modern era, I suppose, when everyone's got smartphones and everyone can Google their problems. And
basically what you're saying is...
Watch the old A-Team.
Fox had a problem, so they assembled a crack team to take care of it.
When you say crack team,
yes, I mean that.
Does everybody have a pipe? Do they sit there in smoking jackets with their pipes, going, "Yes, quite."
Or like a really trippy '60s acoustic version of the A Team song plays, like on the sitar.
With sitars.
But I mean, everything's been done that the A Team can do.
Ding, ding, ding.
I mean, how long was the original A... Like, how many series was the original A-Team?
It was quite long.
Quite a long.
Yeah, it was like I don't know. I have no numbers.
It's going to be exactly the same, but in modern times, I'm guessing.
Well, I don't think it can be exactly the same. There were certain things that get away with in the 80s that you just can't get away with now.
Haircuts.
For example, their rather eclectic idea of what constituted mental illness. I mean, Howling Mad Murdoch.
That is true. Oh my God, New Atheism is going to be super offensive, isn't it?
Yes, I know. They're going to have to work that in somehow to avoid offending a lot of people, because if you watch the A-Team now, you just get it. Yeah, it's 80s. They got to, you know, it's fine. You can basically treat it with tongue-in-cheek sentimentalities, because it was the 80s. They didn't understand mental illness as much as they do now. But now, if you had somebody just standing on the wall saying, ammonia, it's all over, it gets into your nose, ammonia. And you're like, I have no idea whether this is supposed to be funny or offensive or what.
I think the answer, as with many things, is both.
Yes. So, yeah. Do you think it can work? Do you think the A-Team is worth bringing back?
I don't think it can. I think it's just too much of an 80s thing to ever work in the current day.
I think people will watch it because they'll be fans of the A-Team, see how different it is, and then it'll like go after maybe two seasons.
See, I don't think... I think Andrew has a point. Because remember they did the reboot of Knight Rider? And they basically upgraded the car and everything like that, and... They had the, you know, Michael Knight's illegitimate son taking over the role of the Knight Rider, and the car had like, it had camouflage and it was bulletproof and everything like that.
Do you think, who was it who made like a very good point as to why is it called Knight Rider? Because like, no one's riding Michael Knight.
Although during the time when Knight Rider was on, many women did want to.
And still do, probably.
Yes. And it was the Hoff, and so if you go onto Google Images after typing in Hasselhoff, you find some very disturbing images. So yes, him with a lollipop, for example, of himself, a nice lolly version of himself.
FF search images. Oh my.
Was that your George Takei impression? Oh my.
Oh no, I couldn't even try and do George Takei. Why is that puppy there? Why is the puppy there? Puppy there, puppy, move.
Are you sure you want the puppy to move?
No, stay there. Oh no. Oh, there's the man thong. Oh. I want to stop scrolling down, but I can't. I can't.
So, yeah, Knight Rider got a reboot, and I don't think the new guy who took over from Knight Rider was anywhere near as good or as personable as the Hoff was back when he was.
Oh, God, the Nick Fury film. No. Oh. Oh, it's awful.
It's good for what ails you. He's forgotten his L now.
What were we talking about? Are we recording?
Yes. So, yeah, I don't think, for that reason, I don't think the A-Team is...
I mean, I think it's going to get lost in the new reboots that actually seem to make sense. For example, Minority Report, that can probably run. Limitless is a weird one.
Isn't that the one about the guy who takes the pill? That mind-expanding pill.
Mm. I mean,
it's not 60s at all.
I mean, if they expand it from the film, add some edge to it, that could be a good series.
Yeah, but I mean, when I first heard about the movie and what the premise of the movie was, automatically in my head, I was playing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. It's trippy, man. That's basically my version of Limitless. I was like, yeah, mind expanding.
I thought that film was actually just 2 hours of Bradley Cooper looking through a kaleidoscope.
Well, sitar music plays.
Nice.
Hashtag no limits. So, yeah.
Is it something we're going to look forward to, do we think?
No.
Is it something you'll watch see how bad or good it is?
I've seen the movie. I am not looking forward to
any
more repeats.
I've seen it twice.
And they call me a masochist?
Andy, why?
Because somebody else wanted to see it.
Were they female? Then you have no excuse. So, yeah. Where were we?
A-Team.
Yes, that's it.
Yes,
sorry.
I'll push all thoughts of David Hasselhoff out of my mind now.
Yes. So, A-Team is... the reboot is in the works, but no confirmation yet.
Yeah.
I really don't think it's a good idea. I think they should just leave certain properties to one side and just think about new ideas.
Well, I don't even see how tonally they can do it.
I mean, it's not like
it's not going to work if you try and recapture the 80s feel, because like it's not the 80s. But if you try and go for like a more serious version,
this A-Team is going to be male and female as well. They're going to change the characters.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In the modern era, we are a lot more au fait with what mercenary mentality tends to be like. You know, and basically, if you're a mercenary, the kind of things that you're more willing to do in order to get the job done so you get paid.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for episode 3 when the A-Team kidnap a child.
See, this is the thing, you know, soldiers of fortune. Whose fortune? Did they go? Is it going to be like the A-Team meets Three Kings, where they're in Iraq and they basically decide to steal a load of gold? It's the obvious question, isn't it?
It is. Or just even dark. It's like, oh no, looks like we're trapped in this barn. I guess we'll have to build some sort of escape. No, it's okay. I have these canisters of nerve gas.
Yes. Is it going to end up with like an NCIS A-Team crossover?
Oh no.
Or even better, Hawaii 5-0 A-Team crossover. Because they brought that back, didn't they?
They did bring that back.
And is it as good as the original? No.
You could have the...
They don't have the cool theme tune.
You could have an A-Team... You could have an A-Team crossover with Knight Rider, couldn't you? Hoff?
No. Because if you did the then A-Team crossover with the then Knight Rider crossover, everybody's just going to have Zimmer frames. This kit is going to be a Zimmer frame now. I'm going to take the stairs. I don't think that's a good idea, Michael.
Okay, kid, let's get out of here. Just like spends half an hour trying to start Kit.
No, Kit is a mobility scooter. With a shopping basket on the front.
Right. Should we say we'll just watch this story as it
We'll watch unfolds. This story as it unfolds, but we don't have much in the way of expectations. I think certain properties...
Hey, I have many expectations, just none of them good.
Yeah, I think certain properties just need to be left alone.
Mm.
They're too much a product of the time. It's exactly the same as if I turn around and suddenly said, oh, they should bring back Automan. Nobody remembers Automan except me. You guys don't know what the hell I'm talking about
here. This is one of those made-up 80s shows that apparently really existed, like Manimal.
Manimal is a real thing as well.
Oh, Manimal is just a lie that all you people from the 80s try and trick us
no,
with.
No, Manimal could turn into, like, I think it was a panther and some kind of bird of prey.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, but Manimal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did people think that was a good name for a show?
Automan
as well. Automan is basically a computer program that's not a computer program. He's got a little sidekick called Cursor, who basically draws him a 3D car which can turn at 90 degrees at speed. Is like something from Tron.
Except I seem not as cool as Tron.
Nope, not as cool as Tron. But the thing is, Automan I could see working in this era.
Well, yeah, because from what you've said, his power is just being a 3D printer.
Well, not exactly a 3D printer. He's actually a program himself. Except he's autonomous from a computer or anything like that. He's basically a living sentient program who fights for justice.
Was this made by people who don't understand how computers work?
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
And you got to remember, this was the 80s, and a lot of people didn't understand how computers worked during the 80s. I put the disc in, and something happens.
This show must be so obscure, because when you Google Automan...
You don't get some car mechanic, do you?
Oh, you got the Empire. Well, I got the...
You got the Empire? Are we talking like Star Wars? What?
Do you mean the Ottoman Empire?
It's spelled A-U-T-O. I've just Googled Automan and found it straight away. You put Ottoman in, didn't you?
I put two O's at the beginning instead of A-U. Still.
You put two O's at the front, so it's Utoman.
But yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh no, what's he sound like?
There is an Alaskan monster known as the Otter Man.
Is he furry and you can put your feet on him?
He is furry.
Anyway, yes. So Otter Man, and Manimal, I suppose, could probably work to a degree in although, as you said, maybe change the name from Manimal to something else. And have you noticed how Automan and Manimal, both of them were like blonde hair, blue eyes, Robert Redford type look?
Well, like that's what everyone in the 80s was.
Yes.
And He-Man.
See, the thing is, do you know what I think Manimal was? I think somebody had been watching An American Werewolf in London and the transformation scene from that, because every single show, they focused on him transforming into a panther or into a bird. They're like, but and the question was always raised, are those the only animals he can transform into? What about a pigeon? Can he transform into a pigeon?
I feel like there are lots of jokes I could make here, none of which are appropriate.
The thing is, if you're on the run from bad guys and you're in an area where there's lots of pigeons, surely the best way to hide is in a crowd of pigeons.
Nope, it's to turn into a
golden fly would have been more sufficient.
Hey?
I'd have thought a fly would have been more sufficient.
Yeah, but it's Manimal. Animal, not insect. Otherwise it'd be... otherwise it'd be Mansect.
I think that's the late night version of Manimal.
Mansect, yes. So, yes, let's leave that to one side then. Enough of the 80s TV shows and the weirdness that was in the 80s, along with the massive shoulder pads. Moving on to Clive Barker. Most people know him for his horror stuff like Hellraiser and Cabal and stuff like that, or, you know, as it's also known, Nightbreed. They made a movie of it. And he does do some kind of fantasy horror or straight-up fantasy stuff. Weave World, Imagica, The Great and Secret Show, that sort of thing. Weave World is a really, really good book, all about a world that actually exists within a tapestry.
Wow, Rob, that sounds really cool. They should make a TV series of that.
Yes, they are. The CW is giving it a modern overhaul. It's a 1987 dark fantasy novel that earned him a nomination for the World Fantasy Award. A couple of years after that, BBC had basically done Neverwhere, the Neil Gaiman story about homeless people. They'd done that as a TV series. I think it was a 6-part series. That one is one that I'd really love for them to do a remake of. Because it's due one. It's a really, really timeless story. Because it's all about homeless people in a big city. And the kind of myths and legends that go with living in a big city that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. But Weave World is, again, another one that'll be quite interesting. Especially with Game of Thrones and all the rest of them that are around. Weave World is one of those ones where they can transition between the real world and this world within the tapestry. But the world within the tapestry has its own rules. Because effectively it is all kind of thread based. It's based on various threads. And if it starts unraveling, then the world starts falling apart. You know, if the tapestry catches fire, the world actually burns, things like that. Do you see what I mean? So it's not that they're in a completely alternate universe or reality. They're actually still in the same plane of existence as us, just really small.
Yes, like they are actually inside the tapestry.
Yeah. If you wanted to reenact the Great Flood in Weave World, you'd basically take the tapestry, roll it up, and put it in a bath. That sort of thing. That's basically how the logic works in that. And I like the way the logic works in it, because they do use it to good effect when somebody tries to steal the tapestry.
Sure, because imagine rolling it up would do like weird things to all the geography as well then.
Yep.
Is it like that bit in Inception where like the city just kind of like folds up around itself? Because that would be cool in a TV show.
See, this is the thing. I don't know if they'd be able to do something like that, but...
I guess budget constraints would come into it as well.
Yeah. But the thing is, because Weave World is kind of a magical place, it's full of all this... it's full of magic. Because it's lousy with magic, people are after this tapestry because they want it, because it represents power. So there are people actually after it as well. So that comes into play as well. I'm quite looking forward to this one. not because I'm a massive Clive Barker fan, because I'm not. I'll be honest. I prefer some of his horror stuff to Stephen King's, but his fantasy stuff is really quite good. It's really worth checking out. If I had to make a suggestion of a book to start off with, I would say Cabal, the one that ultimately became the movie Nightbreed. It's a very good starting point because it's not a long book. You know, it's not a long book at all. So it's really easy to get into, really easy to finish. And, you know, it had a good sentiment to it. And it wasn't that much of a horror. It was more of just a really dark fantasy
with interesting. Dead people. Oh, that we're now talking about books on the Not Book Show, Rob. What have you done?
I don't know. I'm transitioning. I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, CW is looking to bring it back. So yes, I think that this is what I'm going to be watching.
So it sounds
interesting.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you remember Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell?
Yes.
If they do it in that kind of mold, not in kind of the period drama mold, but with that kind of mentality behind it, then I think it can really work. And for them to for the CW to pick up on this now, I'm thinking that they probably looked at Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell and the success of that and thought, okay, what can we find that we can do a short series about?
Yeah, because I think basically the CW are kind of becoming more like sort of the premier fantasy channel now.
Geek Central.
Yeah, basically.
They should change it and take a leaf out of Comedy Central's book. Just call it Geek Central instead of the CW. What does the CW stand for anyway?
No, it sounds vaguely cultish.
Cult Watch. Is that what it is? I don't know what the CW television network means. I know it's part of CBS, though, isn't it? It's a joint venture between CBS and some other people.
Yeah, so I guess, what does CBS stand for?
Central Broadcasting Service or something like that. Something Broadcasting Service.
I guess CW is probably Central Watch.
Anyway, let's leave.
That's the worrying thing.
Let's leave that to one side and move on. Andrew, what's next?
It's back to you, because mine is the last story.
Yours is the last story?
Mine is the last story.
Is this tennis? You hit the ball back to me now?
Yes.
Okay, right. Do you guys remember the character of Jack Ryan?
Yes.
Yes, from films and such.
Yeah, The Hunt for October, Clear and Present Danger, and
Tom Clancy, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
That's another book thing.
Yeah, then I had to try to do that film. Was it Shadow Recruit not that long ago with Chris Pine in it?
Yeah, and there was the one with Ben Affleck in.
Ben Affleck. I think that was Sean Connery. Clear and Present Danger, maybe?
No,
Some of All Fears. That Some was, of All that Fears, yeah.
Because they had Sean Connery and Housen Ford had done two others, didn't
they? Yeah, that's right. Housen
Ford. Patriot Games was another one.
Which is the one with like Irish Sean Bean in it?
Patriot Games. I actually quite like Patriot Games.
Yeah, that was a fun kind of slightly cheesy action film.
But yeah, Lost showrunner Carlton Cuse and writer Graham Rowland are bringing Tom Clancy's spy Jack Ryan to TV.
Again, yeah, it's another thing that's coming to TV.
It's a contemporary spy series because...
I think just get to the worst bit, Rob.
Now, Paramount TV and Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes will collaborate on the series, which has received bids from multiple buyers.
Why? It's written by the people who wrote Lost and produced by Michael Bay.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Everybody's trying to fill the hole left by 24. Because 24 was such a big success. Everybody's trying to find what can fill the slot left by Kiefer Sutherland. And I know how dodgy that sounds, but you know exactly what I mean. But yeah.
Yes, the copious bullet holes he left.
Yes, the copious bullet holes. And obviously Jack Ryan is going to be in the mix. He's going to be one of the characters thrown into, whose name is thrown into the hat because of all of the movies associated with, that particular franchise. No matter how successful they were or weren't.
But at least some of those films had people who weren't terrible working on them.
But would this be overkill, though? I mean, it worked well. They worked well as films. I know, like, we're getting all this popularity with Netflix and things, of all these dramas and everything, but...
Yeah, this is the best bit of this story, though. Right. Best bit of the story is this. Jack Ryan has been played by some of Hollywood's biggest names over the years. Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, Chris Pine, and Alec Baldwin.
Wait, I'm sorry, Alec Baldwin. Who was Alec Baldwin, Chris Pine?
He was Hunt for Red October.
Oh my God, he was, wasn't he? Oh.
Who's playing him in this new TV?
Yeah, I completely forgot that it was.
Because the only thing you remember from that movie is Sean Connery's horrible Russian accent. Because it was such a strong Scottish Russian accent, would it be Scotian? Scotian? Ruttish?
Yes, Scotian. Ruttish. Sounds like a food.
Ruttish or Ruttish or something like that.
Actually, yes, Ruttish. He's got to have like a shirt in there because it's Sean Connery.
Dosh vidanya. Spasiba.
So who's actually playing Jack Ryan? Does it say?
Nope, it doesn't say. All it shows me is a picture of Chris Pine when he was playing Jack Ryan, and that's it. Which makes you think automatically that it's going to be Chris Pine, but it's not.
Well, as you've went over who's played him in the past, they've all looked completely different.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure what the timeline is. And it's, I know that the
they
sum
say
of
Jack
all
Ryan
fears,
is a Time Lord.
I know that the Sum of All Fears was supposed. This is the problem I've got. The Sum of All Fears was supposed to be like one of the early Jack Ryan movies. You know, early in his career. Yada yada yada. Yeah. But then, didn't they end that movie? Didn't they have like a nuclear blast in that movie, and a particular city got wasted?
Did it?
Yeah, a bomb went. I think they have a nuclear bomb goes off in a city, and in the Sum of All Fears. But then they never refer to that in any of the other movies that came before, or, you know.
Well, so is there even supposed to be, like, a continuity between them all?
I don't know. It's like
it's
there's
Tom Clancy, though.
It's like there's alternate versions of Jack Ryan, and maybe this is just a snapshot in time of Jack Ryan's day-to-day work from different realities.
Well, it must be different realities because he looks different in every single film. Completely different. They didn't even try to get somebody that...
But the thing is, they haven't pushed the boat out. I want them to do like a Rick and Morty version of Jack Ryan.
Well, the Interdimensional Council of Jack Ryans.
Yes, but they all look different. You know, some of them have like tentacle faces and so, you know, look. So it wouldn't be Jack Ryan. It would be Jack Thulu Ryan.
I would definitely watch the series if it was the Jack Ryan from the universe where hamsters live in people's butts.
So, yeah, why not do that and just Tom Clancy just say, nope, they're all from alternate realities, and I have one where Jack Ryan never actually evolved past the Knuckle Dragon stage.
Well, nobody will actually know.
So it'd be, you know, Chimp Ryan instead.
I would watch.
We do need Tom Clancy to, like, rise from the grave to tell us that.
Yes. This is the problem. This is the problem with that idea. The fact that alternate reality Jack Ryan's...
What's fine? We'll just find Necromancer Jack Ryan again to bring Tom Clancy back.
New Jack Ryan, now played by Idris Elba. Total opposite from...
Yeah. Wasn't there a story about the current Bond author saying that Idris Elba...
Yeah, was
Anthony
too
Horowitz.
Urban
He's
to
too
be...
street to play James Bond.
Which,
too street.
To be fair to him, I think I kind of get that maybe the point was making is that Idris Elba seems a bit rough around the edges, maybe.
And Daniel Craig isn't.
But you have to remember...
I'm just trying to make Anthony Horowitz not a massive racist.
You have to remember, the character James Bond is Sean Connery. That's the
generic James Bond character. That's what we've come to expect. But the actual character in Casino Royale, the original book, Casino Royale... If you read it, James Bond is basically just a thug. He is. He is.
Yeah, but
just...
it's like he's a classy thug who eats caviar and then is incredibly demeaning to women.
Kind of, yeah, but he is still just a thug. I mean, if you give him half a brick, he's going to hit you with it. He's that kind of
person.
And
then make some kind of racist remark about bricks. But the point of it, James Bond books are super racist and sexist.
Yes. What was that one where Sean Connery goes to Japan? We always refer back to that one,
yes,
don't we?
But like, the point is, that film is less racist than the books.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
We'll make Sean Connery look Japanese by giving him eyebrows. Because eyebrows aren't a thing. Humans don't have eyebrows.
No, they don't.
Anyway, yes. So Jack Ryan may be coming to TV in a TV series. You do realize they're going to try and stretch it a little bit at some point, and they'll probably do a Jack Bauer, Jack Ryan crossover.
Please say it will be entitled You Don't Know Jack.
No, it could just be like 20 minutes of Jack Ryan and Jack Bauer just introducing themselves, going, Jack Bauer, Jack Ryan, Jack Bauer, Jack Ryan, Jack Bauer, Jack Ryan.
And that's the entire episode.
Yes, basically. The longest handshake in history. And yes, okay. I know how bad that sounds as well. Don't you go there, you evil man.
As if I would.
Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, before we move on as well, related to our last story, the CW is CBS and Warner Brothers.
We don't care now, though.
No. I'm actually kind of sad now that I know the real answer, and it's not that impressive.
No.
Anyway, my turn. So, my story is that Dustin Hoffman and Richard Madden are set to star in a TV drama about Italy's Medici family.
Who's Richard Madden?
Richard Madden is Robb Stark in Game of Thrones. So, obviously, he's not very busy at the moment.
Yeah. He kind of died there. See, when you said Madden, I'm automatically thinking John Madden, so I thought it had something to do with, like, football. We're here for a game of football, which we play with our hands and throw to each other.
Yes, football, the sport that involves no feet.
Yes. It's true, though. Yeah.
They do kick it, like, once or twice in, like, 2 hours.
Then it's not football.
First thing, it's like, it's handball.
You can't even roll the ball, I don't know. It's like...
Yeah, it's an oval, it goes all over the place.
It's actually, it's a rugby ball.
Basically. Not quite, it's a bit pointier than a rugby ball. It's a bit pointier than a rugby ball, and rugby players don't wear padding.
That's true, because they don't need the padding.
Yes, because we're not a bunch of wusses. Anyway.
This show's going to be called Medici Masters of Florence. It's going to be an 8-part drama. I think it's actually being made by an Italian company, Big Light Productions.
Okay.
Which, I haven't heard of them.
That's a one-off 8-part drama.
Yeah,
that's quite rare. Usually you get like 3-part.
I assume probably.
Yeah, but this is if it's the Medicis, they're going to need all 8 parts. Because they went on for a while. Basically, the Medici dynasty didn't just end up as masters of Florence. They were basically, they laid the foundations for pretty much the modern banking system as we know it and various other things as well. And they were one of the powers in Europe. For almost a century. So, yeah. I know, we sometimes forget that sometimes when you look at history, some things we can find funny, but then you got to sit there and ask yourself, well, what have I done with my life?
Yeah, I have not become one of the most powerful banking dynasties in the world.
Yes.
But we've made some podcast episodes.
Yes, we have.
More than one.
Yes. Anyway, tell us more about this.
So, this 8-part drama, it's going to focus on kind of the rise of the Medicis from their sort of humble origins to being these big, crazy, powerful family. So, Madden is going to be Cosimo de' Medici and Hoffman is Giovanni. So I think those are quite early in the Medicis.
Yes.
But looking at, I'm quite disappointed because that means we might not get Lorenzo the Magnificent.
But you have to think.
Yeah, because he was the one who, he was, Lorenzo the Magnificent was, I think he was the patron, or one of the patrons for Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah, I think it was for, 7 or 8 years, he was da Vinci's patron.
So obviously what we're looking at here, if it's very early on, you're looking at, they're trying to spawn a franchise out, like a series after it, aren't they?
Possibly,
in a sense.
Possibly, I don't know. But all I do know about the Medicis, because I know that Jeremy Irons did like the Bourgeois.
Yeah.
So I think this might be in response to that, because the Bourgeois, everybody kind of goes, yeah, the Bourgeois, blah, 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 blah. You know, Bourgeois.
I think it's probably more in response to Game of Thrones, because the Bourgeois itself was just kind of trying to capitalize on that Game of Thrones sort of dynastic power struggle type thing.
Yeah, I think the Medicis might be, the reason why I think it might be in response to the bourgeois is because Game of Thrones has been around for a while, and they didn't bring this up first. I think they've looked up the bourgeois and gone, well, hang on, the Medicis were bigger and badder than the bourgeois. Why have you ignored them?
Yeah, whatever. Either way, we're getting a series about, like, the Renaissance version of The Sopranos.
Yes, they were.
Or as you put it.
It's basically the Renaissance version of Sun, Sex, and Suspicious Parents. It really is. It really is. I mean, I think this was around the time period of Casanova and various people like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Not only that, from like during the 16th century, the Medicis had 4 popes from their family.
Which I think that's probably another reason why they've picked it, because they can do what lots of period pieces like to do, which is just like name drop lots of famous historical figures.
Yeah. Galileo was the tutor of quite a few of the Medicis.
Taught them how to do the Fandango.
Yes. Not only that, he named 4 of Jupiter's moons after 4 of the Medici children. So, yeah, not only did he teach them how to Fandango, named 4 moons. Jupiter's got 4 moons named after Medici children because of him. So, yeah, I mean, just the number of people that that one dynasty could name drop is ridiculous.
Yeah, because you've got popes, you've got Galileo, you've got Leonardo, you've got... Probably Casanova's going to pop up, because why not?
Michelangelo's in there, Raphael's in there, Donatello.
Leonardo, Ninja Master Ten. Splinter, Shredder,
Krang. And just off to one side is Rocksteady and Bebop.
Just doing their thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm actually quite looking forward to this.
Yeah, it actually sounds really cool.
See, the thing is, I didn't mind the bourgeois, but I just thought it was a bit too tame.
Yeah. It like needs that darker edge, which the Medicis is going to have.
Hopefully. Well, it is being done by an Italian company, so probably.
Yeah, well, like, you don't get to that level of power by just being a nice guy.
Oh, no, the Medicis had plenty of skeletons. And they even knew where some of them were buried. You know that whole line, swimming with the fishes?
Did they come up with that?
Well, Venice was one of their stomping grounds, so...
So, yeah.
Venice is
convenient
built on...
body disposal system running throughout the city.
Yeah, Venice is built on the bones of old Venice, quite literally. So, yes, I'm looking forward to the Medicis. I think it'll be a fun watch.
Yeah, well, definitely we'll have to keep an eye out for it.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to move on to what we've been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
Not that much, to be honest. But what I did manage to catch the other night was... Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Because that's back now. So yeah, this time...
Has he gazumped you? Has he stole your thunder, Andy?
No, I don't watch Doctor Who.
Ah, right. It's just the look on your face. You're going... I was going to talk about that.
Like, you know, I was worried that Jordan was going to be here today. Because I know that would probably be what he's talking about. But Doctor Who. So this time... It's like it's back with Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman, although she's leaving at the end of this series, apparently.
Yeah, and isn't Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones coming in for something?
Yeah, I know she's going to be in an episode.
She's not going to be a constant thing, though.
No, unfortunately, because I would love like Doctor Who and Arya Stark to team up.
Is this pre-assassin Arya Stark or post-assassin?
Oh, no, post-assassin Arya Stark.
I was going to say, yeah.
Just stabbing all the Daleks.
It'd be hilarious, though, if the Doctor finally had a companion who could change their face as much as he can. He just walks up and there's Barack Obama at the console with Arya Stark's voice.
Don't forget, though, you've got Jack Ryan somewhere in there.
Yes, Arya Stark is actually Jack Ryan.
Sorry, for some reason my brain went, hang on, when did Alec Baldwin get into the TARDIS? Just randomly popping up going, here I am.
That's the other logical explanation for Jack Ryan. He's an assassin that changes his face.
Yes, he is a faceless man.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got into weird exorcism
anyway,
with Peter Capaldi Peter Capaldi holding the TARDIS key and back into your cage with you, back Alec Baldwin. The power of key compels you.
See, I would prefer that to like the actual Doctor Who writing at the moment.
Yes,
because firstly, it's still for a while now. I haven't been a fan of the Doctor Who writing. I'm mostly just watching it because I think Peter Capaldi is doing an amazing job as the Doctor.
What was the story about that?
This time, basically, it was actually quite an interesting start, because like, it starts off on like some weird war-torn planet. Like, they actually had one new idea that I thought was like legitimately really cool, was the idea of hand mines.
Okay.
Which, like, they're basically hands that pop out of the ground and, like, grab people and drag them underneath. But, like, they have eyes in the middle of the palms. Like, they were actually kind of creepy.
Right. Okay, see, I was getting a bit worried because when you said this war-torn planet, I thought you meant, like, a wart on a planet.
Yes, yes. just a giant pustulating wart on a...
Yeah, I was thinking, hang on, was that in a Doctor Who episode? Because anything can be on a Doctor Who episode. So I wasn't quite sure where you were going for a second.
No, that was one of the ones written by the crack team.
Okay.
Anyway, this one. So, like, you've got this field of, like, weird eye hand things. And there's, like, a kid stuck in the middle of the field. And the Doctor shows up. Like, basically tries to save the child. And, like, okay. he's talking him through it. Just, like, saying that it's okay. You can make it through this. Like, he asks the kid his name.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, it's Davros.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously? So, yeah. Hang on, because I saw the preview for this week's episode. Are they continuing that then?
Yeah, yeah, this is a two-part story. Because what the Doctor did, which is kind of crazy, is just he left. He turned around and he just left Davros in the middle of this field.
Which is why Davros has no lower half then, I suppose.
Potentially. Because it then cuts to kind of present time, which is, of course, like a relative term when you're talking about Doctor Who, but like, what would be present time on our planet? And basically, there's a message going around the galaxy that Davros remembers.
Wow. And that would explain why he went to war with the Time Lords, because Time Lord had the chance to save him and didn't.
Yeah, exactly. See, there's all these ways the story could go. Because, like, basically, Davros is dying, and, like, he wants to speak to the Doctor one last time.
Possibly say why. Possibly ask him, why did you leave me alone?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I think there's lots of interesting ways this could go. I'm worried they're going to mess it up. Cause...
Yeah, there is a concern. I mean, the thing with this that has me intrigued now, I think I'll have to catch these two episodes, because that would lay the entirety of the Time War at the feet of the Doctor. If they play it right and basically just say, well, look, ultimately, you are the cause of all of this.
Yeah, which I think is something that would be incredible, like, with Capaldi's, like, super cynical Doctor.
Yep.
Which is him having to face the fact that he caused this war.
Yeah, he basically is the ultimate reason why the Daleks exist in the first place. If they play it like that, if they spin it like that and say Davros created the Daleks because he was left there by a Time Lord, and there was nothing that could take on the Time Lord, so he dedicated his life and his work to creating something that could take on the Time Lords and destroy them for what they did to him.
But I feel like they might not do that. They'll just have some stuff, and then Clara will save the day because she is oh so very special.
Oh, yes. She's a special little snowflake.
She is the most special snowflake in all of the sky.
Yes. You okay there, Andrew?
Oh, Andy. Yeah, I'm just letting you two argue. I've never watched an episode of Doctor Who, so I have no clue what you are talking about.
Let me rant. Because, yeah, this episode, there was so much Clara, like, fanboying as well.
Really?
Like, basically, she's now the person who UNIT calls when something's happening. It's like, oh, Clara, come help us because you're so special and you know what to do.
What happened to What's-Her-Face? You know, the Doctor woman, second companion after Rose Tyler.
Oh, Martha. I think she,
Martha,
like,
Jones, yeah.
She quit UNIT. Because now her and Mickey were running around doing stuff.
Yeah, because they were basically engaged, weren't they?
Yeah. I think they were supposed to join Torchwood at one point, but then Torchwood got cancelled, so they kind of just disappeared.
See, it would be interesting if they threw Martha Jones and Mickey back into the mix.
It would, but there is no room on the Clara show.
Yeah, I know, because Martha Jones was the one that who UNIT used to call a lot.
Yeah, because, like, she was legitimately useful because she had medical knowledge and knew about aliens and stuff.
Yeah, and she was the one who first got the Doctor to talk about himself. You know that planet with the motorway?
Yeah, yeah, but like the whole episode was her getting him to open up about stuff.
Yeah, and at the end was just basically, she sat down and said, I'm not moving until you start talking. I liked her. I think she was one of the better companions.
Yeah, because, I think she's definitely the most underrated of the companions.
Yeah, you know, I liked her because she was the most underrated, but also she was the one who was who made it clear she answers to a higher authority when it came to the Osterhagen key situation. He's like, yeah, we're not doing it. You know, your orders may come from unit. I had somebody much higher than them. And if I blow up the Earth, I'm never going to hear the end of it off him because he's a bloody Time Lord. He'll be able to tell me till the end of time. I told you time and again, don't destroy Earth. And what did you do? Left you in charge of it. You know, you let it eat cake.
I step away for 5 minutes.
Exactly. You know, you let it eat the cake and look at it. It's now fat and ugly.
And also exploded.
Yes. And he's just sitting there going, I don't know what's going on
yes,
anymore.
And it can hear words that make no sense.
Okay, shall we end with the Doctor Who stuff there?
Except one last thing to say.
Okay.
The Master came back, or the Mistress now.
Is she into bondage and stuff?
No, well, the Master's a woman now. Because why not?
Right, I see. So it's the well then, I don't know, because you can't really call her the Madame because that sounds even worse.
I think because like she tends to go by Missy, which is like even more obnoxious.
Yeah,
I think they're trying to do like the same thing they did with John Sim of just make her really like wacky and weird. And,
yeah, but John Sim was great as the Master.
Yeah, and like. Just
laser screwdriver.
it feels really forced and just, it's not good. I really don't like her.
Now, John Sim was great as the Master. And when they brought him back for that final couple of episodes of David Tennant's time as the Doctor, just the way he was acting then, because he wasn't fully reincarnated or whatever it was.
Yeah, he was many screws loose.
Yeah, I like that. And it did put that whole idea of, you know, It did kind of put it into your head why the Master had a screw loose for all that time as well, was because the Time Lords basically interfered with him.
Yeah, they made him not right.
Yeah, because he was their key back into the universe.
Yeah, see, I like that, but now she's just some weird joke-sprouting thing.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
So yeah, that's Doctor Who. I dislike lots of it, but also still watch it because I like some of it.
Okay. Moving on to Andy.
I've been watching a Sean Sky one, Duck Quacks Don't Echo.
What?
It's been going for quite a few years. Lee Mack's panel show. It's basically about facts that each member of the team and some people of the audience say a fact.
Okay.
And have to prove that it's right, and then again point by the relevance of the fact.
Okay.
Like, for example, one of the facts on the series, it was either last year or when it's just started again now, but was toilets only flush in a E flat note.
What?
Now I know how you feel listening to us talk about Doctor Who, because you said some things there, and they were definitely words.
Toilets only flush. In an E-flat note?
Most toilets flush in the note of an E-flat.
Okay.
So, like, the sound of a toilet flushing
if it's true or false, and then rate it out of 10 for how good the fact
is. How good was your flush? On a scale of 1 to 10? I don't understand. Andy, have you been watching a show about people flushing toilets?
They do flush toilets. But you can stretch a swimming cap for a whole person, and a whole person can fit in it.
What?
And I think they actually do it as well.
Is this a scene from The Naked Gun or something like that?
If you stretch a swimming cap, an adult could fit inside it.
I have no idea what's going on here. And I've just had a conversation with Andy with Andrew about Doctor Who.
Right? It's a show.
Yes.
You've got 3 guests.
Yes.
Including Lee Mack.
Okay.
Who's out with 4 people.
Yeah.
Each one has a fact. It goes through like 3 rounds.
Okay.
And the audience rate it out of 10. And the winner of that round gets a point.
But are these all true facts?
To prove it, they've got experts there as well. Like engineers, rocket scientists and things like that. Prove it.
Who have nothing better to do with their time than prove that toilets flush in E flat. See, if you
it's
said
a brilliant, it, it's a brilliant
said,
show.
If you said the toilet flushes in A flat, then there's a joke to be made there.
Well, you joke now, but when the alien invasion comes and they can only be repelled by their one weakness, which is an E flat tone.
To sheep, it reduces their fat by 40%.
Sorry, what?
But I guess that fact would be very low because they'd probably not be able to try that out on every single sheep.
Yeah, but I mean the main danger with that is sheep are herbivores. They generate a lot of gas anyway, and if you don't let them release that gas in some way, there's a danger they might explode. I've read books on it. I know the truth.
Especially
exploding sheep.
I mean, you learn a lot of things.
That's what we'll fight the aliens with.
You learn a lot of things on the show. It's similar to what you see on QI where you go to see. It's
sounds
funny.
Sounds more like Brainiac.
No, you've got like soaking your muscles in cold water makes you 25% weaker, which isn't a silly fact. That's genuinely a fact.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just kind of confused as to the actual point of this show.
And you can lift a person off the ground by helium balloons was another fact that one of them said.
Yeah, but that was proven on Mythbusters ages ago. My point is, what's the point of the show? Is it a comedy show?
It's a comedy. It's basically on a comedy. On the premise of the show, it says comedy, educational. Borders along the two. It has like scientific behind two of these silly facts.
Okay.
So it is a very unique show. It's been going on for a while. A lot of people don't know that it's on because it's on Sky One. Sky One is one of those channels where you tend to brush past it.
Yeah.
But no, it's a really good show.
Fantastic. Okay. My turn then. And I'm going to be very, very boring. I'm going back to something that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. The Great British Bake Off.
Everyone that's about Bake Off.
Yeah. Well, it's the semi-finals next week. So everyone's just kind of,
What, semi-finals already?
No, semi-finals are next week. It was the quarter.
Yeah, but I mean, we're already that late in the competition.
Yeah.
Semi-finals. I feel like only just started the other week.
Yeah, semi-finals next week and then the finals the week after. So that's one of the reasons I'm bringing it up now is because I like the four bakers that they've got left.
Didn't something go wrong last week or something? I read somewhere. Majorly wrong.
The Victoriana.
Was it?
Basically, they tried getting people to do stuff from like the Victorian period to bake in like a historical context. And everybody found it really, really difficult with stuff like hot water pastry and stuff like that, which nobody uses anymore. Yeah. And you're like, okay. Yeah. Maybe this was the challenge too far. This week was, I can't remember what, I think it was Patissier, but, the patisserie week was this week. And generally the patisserie week is quite hard, you know, cause patisserie is basically really, really fancy, fancy, fancy cakes.
Yeah. It's very delicate.
Very delicate, very kind of, you know, Art Nouveau type stuff, you know.
Make me fancy cakes now.
You heathen.
Fancy a cake.
You heathen. You heathen. You Philistine.
Well, are we about to have cake versus pie?
No. It's
because the true winner is flan.
It's like a cross between the two.
No, I was about to say it's going to be tart versus Goliath, but then I thought, nope, that's not a good one to go with it. So, yes. Great British Bake Off. It was Patisserie Week, and obviously somebody got sent home. It was the big old fella. I've forgotten his name.
Other Paul.
Yeah, Other Paul, that's it. So you've got Tamal and Nadia and I think two of the other guys whose names are interchangeable because they do look alike.
Oh, there's Ian, isn't there?
Ian and...
The one who eats roadkill.
Yeah, and they're the ones left in the semi-final. Nadia got Star Baker for the second time. Tamal was in the running for Star Baker. I think the weird thing is the two Asian people are... really kind of stepping up their game. But the guy who won Star Baker three times during the early part of the competition has really kind of backed off the pace a little bit. You see what I mean? So it's difficult. At this point, it's difficult to say who's going to be in the final. I'm hoping that either Tamal or Nadia will make it in, which is pretty much guaranteed. One of them's going to make it into the final. I think my money's on Nadia at the moment because she seems to be performing the best.
I would have said Tamal until a few weeks ago because I think Nadia's really like come from behind.
Yeah. But Tamal isn't, I wouldn't write him off because he knows a lot, that boy.
Yeah, I know. But I just mean, like, I couldn't call it now.
Yeah. It's a difficult situation to call. Look at us. How boring are we talking about Bake Off?
Not because Bake Off is like the greatest show on TV.
I love Mel and Sue. I think Mel and Sue are amazing on it.
They're just like such a good double act.
They're such a good double act. But they're like, you know, they're like 5-year-olds. You know, when you're trying to make some food and they just pop up and they go, "Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Can I try some of that? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? How do you do this?" And you got to stand there and patiently explain to them. But before you finish, their attention has been taken by something else new and shiny and spinning.
I think that is how you get more time in your bake-off. You just like, you bring a particularly shiny spoon with you.
Yeah.
And you wave it in front of Mel and Sue.
Do you not watch Bake Off?
I watch bits of it. I keep meaning to like sit and watch it, but it's just I always miss it.
Yeah, because
I can record it, but I always miss it.
It's got that combination of Mel and Sue as like the 5-year-old children, and then you've got Paul Hollywood who just looks at you in a way that says you will never be better than me.
It's basically though.
And then you've got Mary Berry's just that stare of utter disappointment.
It's basically
she's
though,
judging your soul. You know when you die and you go. You know when you die and if you believe in a particular, if you believe in religion and your religion says this, you will stand in front of God and God will judge you based on that. The look that God will give you probably is similar to the look that Mary Berry gives to people who buy their fondant icing in packs instead of making it themselves.
I thought you were going to say there if you go to like heaven or wherever. Like near the gates.
Have you not seen the look that Mary Berry gives to people who buy pre-made fondant icing instead of making it themselves? Oh my God!
The only thing that would make that stare better is if, like, she also whispered while doing it, "Mediocre."
No. Just what you want is the Kevin Sorbo track, "Disappointed," somewhere in the background, or maybe make it echo. The hills are alive with the sound of sawball.
Thing is, though, it is. I mean, the show is basically MasterChef, isn't it? But baking.
No,
in a sense,
no. MasterChef was never like this. Basically, they don't go out to different restaurants and stuff like that, and they don't cook for other judges. They basically cook only for Mary and Paul. MasterChef, I don't think could ever work in the way that Bake Off works. I think the reason why Bake Off works is because baking is one of these things that you could easily do at home. And
anybody can least try it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not like all these fancy ingredients.
Well, no, there are fancy ingredients. You can do whatever you want, but baking is one of those things that you could easily do at home and you don't need to, you know, you don't, if your pie.
Yeah, you don't have to like go out and get your locally sourced cod with the fresh lemons and the herbs and spices and like need 11 different knives to prepare it.
And you can take a course in pretentiousness.
You can find everything in the supermarket, basically.
Or you can make it yourself. I mean, imagine you made a pie, you know, that turned out looking like a pasty, but it tasted amazing inside. It might not look like a pie. You know, it might look more like just a very large pasty. But my God, does it taste good?
What would you call a mixture between a pasty and a pie?
A pisty? A pisty? Don't know. Did I kill the punchline?
Oh, it wasn't a joke. I was just asking. It wasn't like some fancy joke.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, Bake Off. I'm looking forward to the semi-final and the final. I'm curious to see what they're going to have in store for the remaining four next week, because usually the penultimate week is quite a tough one.
Yeah, well like you got to get rid of the week.
Well, they've got patisserie out of the way, so it is.
Actually, yeah, so like, how do you step up from patisserie?
It's from Mary Berry with a gun.
They got historical baking out of the way. They got patisserie out of the way. So how do you step up from that? They've done alternative ingredients as well.
I'm really curious now because I don't know what they're going to do.
Unless they wheel in like tandoori ovens and stuff like that and go with.
Unless they're going to go Krypton Factor and make it like an ultimate challenge where it's like patisserie, alternate ingredients, and Victorian baking all in one.
No, we want you to merge patisserie, Victorian baking, and make naan breads. But you're not allowed to use flour of any sort.
You end up with poppadom type result.
No. But yeah, you're not allowed to use flour of any sort. The thing is, if you're not allowed to use flour of any sort, that means any type of, that means you're going to have to use, you can't use corn flour, you can't use rice flour, you can't use normal flour, you can't use rye flour.
Well, yeah, you can't use all those things that have flour in them.
Yep. But also means you can't use something like polenta because it's got flour in, doesn't it?
I think you might have actually made like an impossible challenge.
Why don't you just go the full hog and like take the yeast out of it as well?
Eh?
Just go the full hog.
No, the thing is, you can actually get stuff. You can actually make stuff that doesn't have flour in.
Oh, yes.
You just got to make sure you don't need it. And it will be very dense. So make sure that you've brought an extra set of teeth. Anyway, yes, Great British Bake Off. Looking forward to finals and semi-finals. And that's basically what I've been watching. I was going to get around to watching Hunted at some point, but I haven't.
I need
really
to get around
chance
to watching. Three episodes in, recorded, and I haven't sat around and watched them yet.
Well, we can do talk about Hunted next week. Okay, right. I think that's us for the day, isn't it?
Oh, can we not talk about ITV shows?
Actually, yes, we were going to talk about ITV shows. It's up to you guys. We can talk about ITV shows if you want.
I think we could do like just a quick 10-minute thing.
Okay, yeah, we can. Let's do it then.
Okay, so yeah, for our final bit, basically kind of fairly recently, ITV marked 60 years being on the air. And I think they ran a program just kind of looking back at all their shows.
60 years of ITV?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they've been around since like 1955?
Yes.
Yes.
I have to think there. 60 years. Yeah.
Your mental maths is not strong.
Yeah, I just thought we could do that.
And then I just think it took them about 40 years, more than 40 years, to add like two more channels.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I guess like ITV 2 and 3 haven't been around that long.
No, I was thinking channel 4 and 5.
Oh, I get
ITV 2.
I don't know, I'm tired. ITV shows, good ones, bad ones, discuss.
I mean, it was BBC 2 last year, wasn't it? Or 1 or 2 years ago. Now it's ITV. It's been going, I mean, there's quite a lot of shows that it's from the very good to the very bad.
Yeah. Well, Coronation Street has pretty much been keeping ITV going by itself single-handedly for decades.
Yeah, because I imagine, at least at first, that's pretty much all they had.
ITV usually all capitalise on reality TV at the minute.
Well, the thing is, ITV used to be, it wasn't one monolithic firm like the BBC is. It used to be a collection of smaller independent broadcasting production companies dotted around the country. Because it was when they did the news, the ITN news, it was the Independent Television Network. And ITV, I think, stood for Independent Television, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they used to be part of ITN.
Yeah. So, yeah, ITV was basically because you used to get like programs from Granada and various other, you know, localized production and television companies. And they used to make programs and ITV would buy them and show them. I think that's how Coronation Street got started as well before they brought it in-house.
There's a list on the Telegraph which goes through their 60 greatest shows.
Okay.
And number 3 is actually The Muppet Show.
Okay.
And you got number 1, Coronation Street. And 7 up is number 2. But I mean, it goes to show that over the years, I mean, it has changed, but it's also, I think it's got watered down quite a bit.
Yeah, it has, because, I mean, it's gone down the route of a lot of other major networks. It's basically trying to cater to the lowest common denominator, yeah, I can see there's a market for that, but it's not really my market.
Yeah, well, I think it's, we've talked about it quite a few times.
University
Lots
Challenge.
Of things have gone on, well. Like Netflix and stuff now, so it's all about just trying to get as many people.
Yeah.
But you did used to get all these good programs. University Challenge is still basically...
The Avengers used to be on ITV. The John Steed and
Well, they had tons of stuff like that. Like that.
Danger Mouse, Blind
Date. Pretty sure they had The Saint as well.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Very, very good good call on that one. Although I didn't like The Saint as much as I thought I would have. I preferred The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I don't think I've ever seen The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I'm surprised.
It's like, I think it's like the big old TV show that I never really saw.
Rob, yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't brought this one up, because you've been talking about it a lot recently. The Krypton Factor.
I want that show back so much, but I don't want it back as well, because I saw the reboot, the attempted reboot of it, and it was god-awful.
It's been 20 years since the original stopped.
Actually, ITV used to do a really good show, The Prisoner. Nobody knew what that show was about.
Oh, yeah, that was like that really weird one. Didn't like that have the giant floating ball thing that captured people?
Yes.
Ah, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
That was an ITV show.
Cracker was also an ITV show. You know, Spitting Image was an ITV show. Thunderbirds was an ITV show.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they'd show Thunderbirds all the time, like Saturday mornings.
I forgot, yeah. ITV had University Challenge first, didn't they?
Yeah, because it says something like up to 1997 or something like that.
Yeah. The Kenny Everett Show was ITV. Danger Mouse was originally ITV.
It is, was.
Yeah. Inspector Mouse was ITV.
ITV done a lot of different... I mean, it doesn't seem to be... I mean, aimed towards an audience, ITV. I mean, so a lot of the other channels are. Channel 4's aimed more towards an adult audience. This ITV just...
adult.
Yeah. Minder was ITV, and I never really liked Minder. So, yeah. Sherlock Holmes generally appears on ITV.
Yeah, yeah, because they had, like, Sherlock Holmes and Poirot and Marple and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Alf Wiedersehen Pet was ITV. Cat Weasel! with the telling bone!
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about Cat Weasel.
Yeah. At the Palladium.
Obviously, Downton Abbey is an ITV show. And that's the big show on ITV right now, except for Coronation Street, isn't it? Isn't that the really popular one now?
Yeah, that is. That's also, like, well, big overseas.
Apart from that, though, it's big in America, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, huge in America.
I've never got the appeal of it
that's
myself.
That's what they want to believe England is like.
Yes. So, yeah. Tiz was Jesus. Lenny, you look so young there.
Tiz was Jesus. I've never heard that one.
No, Tiz was. And I've just found a picture of Lenny Henry.
I think I'm
the massive orange beard. God, he looks young.
That's not a real beard.
I know. I don't need to tell you. I know. So, yeah.
But yeah, everything's reality TV now. ITV.
God, Lenny Henry did used to be young. Time is a thing. People get older, Rob.
Yes, yes, they do. But yeah, ITV have had loads of actually quite good shows over the years, but...
Yes, although on the other side of that...
Yeah.
I have got the show that, like, is the reason I wanted to talk about this. It's from 2001, the greatest game show ever conceived by man, Shafted with Robert Kilroy Silk.
God.
Which is the best cast in the world, so do you want to share or Shaft? And, like, this was a show. This was an actual thing that happened.
It was. And do you remember when he used to say, do you want a share or do you want a shaft?
Yes, with the arm pump.
This was in the days before Robert Kilroy Silk got a bit too orange and decided to turn alpha racist on everybody.
See, I feel like this was what broke him.
Yeah. Because remember, he used to do Kilroy as a kind of more middle-class version of Jeremy Kyle.
Yeah, yeah, you did. It was, like, much more genteel.
Yes.
Like, people would wear actual clothes and not tracksuits.
Yep.
And this is the Shaft without Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, and it gets better. Apparently they made an Australian version of Shafted.
Really?
Yeah. With, like, the key difference being basically, if there was a person, because at the end of the game, like, there's two players, you have all the money, you have to decide if you're going to share it between you, or if one person's going to shaft the other.
So it's a bit like Golden Balls.
I think so, but the idea is basically like they're behind walls. So if like one person says, I want to shaft, the other says share. It's either one who says shaft gets all the money. But in the Australian version, what also happens is they get to go on the next game and they get a special title. And do you know what that special title is?
What?
They are the Master Shafter. And that's why Shafted was the greatest TV show ever made.
Yeah, it does sound like what Golden Balls did.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right, okay. I think we're at the end of the show there.
Yeah, I think that is a good point to end it on.
Yes, so we'll see everybody next week where we'll be back with more television news and discussions about what we've been watching. For now, though, I have been Master Shafter Rob.
I've been slightly left.
Slightly left Master Shafter.
Slightly left Shafter Andrew.
And I guess I've just been observant.
You've been via Andy.
Yes.
Right, we'll see you all next week.